Okay, there we go. Okay, who was the best player you saw in your time?
Best player?
Yeah.
Well, there were quite a few good ball players, like I say. That those are tough questions. The best, the biggest day of my life. The best ball player.
Yes, I know they're tough
because there's so many good ball players. I mean, you know, when you look around both leagues, of course you see mostly American League when you're playing it, but there are some top-notch quality ball players. You know, I mean, how many do you have? You have a handful. Well, back in my days, there was less clubs, but you had many good ball players. Many good ball players. I never really looked at someone say a single out the best. Although I thought, as a hitter, in his last year of baseball, I thought that I had seen the best pitcher swing of my life as far as stance, perfection in the swing, and everything was Ted Williams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
when we were in Detroit, anytime they would list him as playing that day, they would add maybe 10,000-15,000 people with no trouble come to the ballpark if they just had a chance to see him play, you know, because he was on his way out, and that was his last year when I was there. And matter of fact, he was so well admired, what happened is that after we had our batting practice at the home club, the visitors were out there, so we went and changed the sweatshirts and everything, and I tell you, the whole ball club came out to the dugout to watch him take batting practice.
Mm-hmm.
The whole ball club, Detroit Tigers.
Admiration. A lot of guys did that in a lot of ballparks over a lot of years with him.
It's just admiration, and you have to say that is some hitter. When you can get people like the ball players we had at Detroit from number one, you'd say quality ball, number one, all the way down to the bottom, they were all out there more or less in the dugout and watch, observing this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And relax, you know, but just having an opportunity to watch him, because you probably feel he's not going to be around too much longer.
Right.
For a guy like me to see him, it's a good chance for me to really get a good look at him. He just sent the ball in like in the upper deck. It was such a nice swing. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
A lot of photographers around. That is admiration you have for a guy with a lot of ability.
Oh, yes. Probably not. Yeah, there may have been a better hitter somewhere, but it's awful hard to say who it was.
Well, records can be set. But as far as when I look at it, I look at it as a fan, you know, the way you swing with perfection, like perfection in the way you attack a ball and coordination, everything. He just had that picturesque way of hitting a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he was big, and for a person that was big in stature, that's difficult. A lot of times big people can look clumsy, more or less, but he perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And I could understand from that point on. I could see on why, with a good set of eyes, he could be such a tremendous hitter.
And that's, yeah, and he was.
Hit off the back foot and everything. But there are a lot of good ball players. You know, we had in Detroit, you had a guy like Al Kaline. Of course, he was an all-around ball player. Run, throw, and hit. Smart. Cash was a heavy, you know, good hitter, is hitting home runs, could play first. But the degrees, but they're good ball players up around Aparicio's and Nelly Fox. I was happy to play at the time when they were still around. They were a nice combination.
Mm-hmm.
I've had chance to hit against Early Wynn, who paid me nice compliments. I knocked him. I knocked him out of the box in Kansas City. I owed him one for hitting me in Chicago. He told me he was going to hit me.
Well, he got a lot of them over the years, didn't he?
Well, I played in Chicago and. I didn't know his background, but Seaver and Lumpy, evidently, when they were with the Yankees, and they were with us in Kansas City, and now they told me that when I got my single through the middle, past the mound, a line shot past Early Wynn, they says, George, he's going to hit you next time. I said, why is that? They said, well, he doesn't care if you get hits off him, but you don't hit him back at him. I said, you know, who gives a damn what he thinks, you know what I mean? I'm going to hit the ball or I'm going to hit it. So he said, well, I'm just telling you, he's going to hit you. So I said, well, face it. I told him, he's not going to back me out of it. I'll tell you one thing. I said, well, I'll find out when I get there. Well, he hit me. Right in the leg. So going out first base, I got my respect for him. I wasn't one guy to say bad words to you, I mean, but I looked at him. I was kind of mumbling to him, you know, and staring at him as I was trotting down first, and he looked at me. So when we got him in Kansas City, he was going for his 300th victory. and he was in about the fifth inning, and he made a mistake. He threw me a ball he shouldn't have, I guess, and I sent it out of the ballpark and I sent it to the showers. So I don't know if I says, the guys in the dugout, I said, yeah, pick up your jacket and take your hike, you know, but it's not loud enough, I guess, for him to hear, because to the other bench, I wouldn't, it didn't make that much to me, but I mean, it was enough to me to get him.
Yeah.
Next day in the paper, he said, you know, I'll tell you, I have to admit, the kid, I give the kid credit. He says, the kid Lusick, he said, you don't back him out of the box. He knew he had hit me earlier, but
yeah.
In Chicago, he said, but when he took the ride to the showers, I guess, put his jacket over his shoulder and walked up the runway. The next day, he did pay me compliment. He said, there's a kid, he said, he's not, of course, he's going for a 300, so I mean, I had to wait, make him wait a little longer.
Yeah, he got it, but
he paid me compliment.
And he didn't say nice things about a whole lot of folks either.
No, but he gave me what I want. In other words, he clarified that to people, if they ever thought anything or second guess me, here's a guy, a veteran, saying that, you know, there's one ball player, if you hit him, he's not going to back him out of there. He's just going to come after me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a reputation like, don't wake me up. You can say things about me, what you want. That's a mistake because I'll go after you because I have my big thing is just like a referee with a technical. It's my bat in my hand. In other words, you must throw the ball up at me.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to continue to hit me, fine. You know, I'm going to get out. But the thing is, you know, you're going to still have to throw it over the plate. You know, as long as I got this bat and I have confidence in this bat, I'm coming after you. And that's why I hit. That's probably why I was a very good hitter with men on base. I just met the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I loved when I had men on base. I really had RBIs on my mind. Somehow to get them in a man on third, I just really dug in and tried to make sure I got part of that. Not only part of it, had a good swing and everything to get them in.
That's what wins the ball games. Well, George, over your career, did you save mementos? Souvenirs?
Yeah, I did save souvenirs, but the kind of souvenirs I saved, I don't know if they were worth anything. I saved these little banners in many of the cities I went through, minor leagues and major leagues, little postcards from hotels and things of the city.
Mm-hmm.
But these little triangular banners, I don't know if you see them. You probably see them at times at souvenir places. Just
the little pennants like
yeah, little pennants like
about half size or one third size.
Annapolis or Chattanooga or
yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, I probably have maybe 50 of them downstairs in different cities. I thought they were kind of cute.
Yeah,
that was like something to keep for me, a reminder of where cities I've been to.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's what they're all about. Is
hotels and sometimes the hotels I was at, I thought they were nice to have.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing: after you leave baseball, they stay in an area where you hardly ever get back to them. You hardly ever really go through them, like your scrapbooks.
Yeah.
Scrapbooks on my entire baseball, probably eight scrapbooks. Day by day, and there's a lot of information in it, but I never really research it.
Well, it's nice to have, though. If friends
for my children.
Friends or family, yes.
Right.
But the kids will, especially the grandkids, will love this stuff.
Bring them out. It's so nil. It's something.
Yes.
But I'll tell you one thing. They're there. Somebody really wants them. I guess maybe when I'm gone, maybe the kids sometime will have that as memories, you know, something.
Yeah, and they will love it. You know they will.
Yeah, there's a lot of many nice days I've had in baseball, and they're all in there, you know, clippings and everything like that. They're preserved and well taken care of. My wife did most of that. You know, when I was on a road trip, she compiled all of them. And,
mm-hmm.
And it's a very nice job, nice to have them, but they'll stay there for some Sunday. Somebody will want them someday, I don't know.
Oh, somebody will. You know they will. What about fan mail? Do you still get much fan mail?
Well, it's getting worse now because what happens is I get the fan mail through the years, you know, no problem. Yeah, I do get them. What has happened through the years, and I was unaware of this tool recently, a couple of years ago. Probably I started maybe last year. I started charging people for autographs because I was, you know, that didn't bother me through the years. I never thought, but I have a few people I know have told me that they're getting their memorabilia collectors, and they say, George, everybody that seems to send an autograph is charging for autographs today because
what do you charge if I can?
$2.
Oh, that's certainly
like the standard.
Yeah.
That's more or less standard. I have never had a kickback on it. Nobody ever said anything bad about it. Evidently, I've been shown what the autographs that people are demanding, more or less, they charge. That's a normal.
Well, card shows.
But see, well, you don't even. I don't know if you want to put that right. That I'd say.
I'm not going to.
It's so trivial to me because I'm not making a fortune off that. That's no problem. But you see, through the years, I've been really great. In other words, this has probably been going on for quite a while, and people are just saying, George, I mean, so many people have told George, you know, we're paying for autographs, and you should have been doing this. And
mm-hmm.
I haven't, but I have witnessed a few. I have witnessed a few times where I have signed things for people, and I have seen them being published for sale.
Yeah.
And somebody's made $500-$600 on me. And give me like $25 to my charity, you know, send me a check. And I've caught this already.
What?
And I know who, the amount of times I've ever signed a bunch of pictures for anybody is very, very limited. Okay? But they used me this way, and I found they used me to make money.
Yes, that's
and
not right.
It really disturbs me because, like I said, I was a nice individual for the past 25, 28 years or so, whatever. And I always never charge anybody, but I have to be careful. You're going to do full stunt on me like that, you're just not going to make a clear profit no more because I've heard too many of these things have been happening to ballplayers many times, and I guess what happens is ballplayers just have... I've heard stories of some guys won't even sign for you.
A lot of guys don't sign anymore.
And you can understand. I really can understand it because, like I say, I never really worried about charging anybody, but I've never had any repercussions as a result of doing it. The ones that wanted my autograph are very happy to get it.
Sure they are, of course.
And
the fans are.
More than anything, I've a lot of times felt if anybody should charge, it's probably guys in my category. I haven't made a killing off of baseball. I never, maybe I shouldn't even say the word killing, but I haven't made a living off of baseball as far as money was involved. My salaries were never high. I always thought I was underpaid.
And they're not going to get you to endorse things.
Right. So, you know, you're talking about a very limited amount of money. It means it's not that great, but the thing is, I am probably more need than, well, I know I am, than other people that are making a good living right now without having to work. And
yep.
They can make it with the shows and everything.
Right.
I understand
and they make a killing at it, as you said.
They do, and I'm not guilty of making big money or... I would say guilty, but I'm not in a position to make that. I wish I was, but I'm not.
Sure.
You know, that's the way life is.
Let me tell you a story. You remember Davey Williams played second base
right.
for the Giants?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Davey's just, got to be one of the half dozen nicest guys in the whole world. I interviewed him a couple of years ago.
Right.
Said a fellow sent him 50 8x10 glossies, all the same shot, and said he was a school teacher, and he gives the pictures out to his classes when they do things good.
Right.
And would Davey sign him? So Davey signed him. He said 3 months later he got 50 more from the same guy. And he said, you know, no matter how good his kids were, 50 pictures of Davey Williams would have lasted a lifetime.
Sure.
So he tried to call the guy. He said his guy said he was a school teacher. So he tried to call the school systems all around New York. Nobody had ever heard of him. So he said, you know, what the heck. He signed them, sent them back, and closed the note, said, don't do this again. Okay, well, he told me about this. In the meantime, I found an ad. This guy, not only, and you may have been on, I don't remember, but this guy not only had done Davey, but there was probably a list of 100 ball players that he was selling pictures from anywhere from $8 to $15 a piece, depending on the career the guy had. And, you know, that's just, that's a crime.
Yeah, they've used the well, they just use you being a nice guy and to make money, and it's what they're doing is shortchanging the people. When I say people, I mean the kids.
Sure.
Ball players, we know the kids are innocent game, and I always had heart for the kids, and it really hurts at times. But you see, there's probably deception many times when you get fan mail. It may not even be a kid, although it's written like a kid.
Yep.
Grown up. We don't know.
That's right.
I don't know. So it's like you have mistrust. You almost have the mistrust for everybody anymore because you don't know who is using you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for their financial reasons. But that has come. off as a result.
And it's I think, justified.
And I can say it because I know I've heard people, so many people tell me of what's being charged at the shows and things like this and the going price. And, of course, I don't go to a heck of a lot of card shows. And when they've, when the major leagues and other organizations have written me about card shows, a lot of times I just became negligent in writing back about them, you know. So maybe I didn't get on the list. I don't know. But around this area, it's kind of hard because you're competing with Yankees and Mets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if you talk about the fan mail out west, people really have some nice, fine letters of people that are now up in the 30s, were kids back when I played, and their fathers are probably deceased.
Sure.
They would tell me nice stories about when their dad took them to the ballpark. I mean, when you had someone mentioned to you riding for 8 hours on a train coming from a farm out in Kansas somewhere.
Yeah.
Across for 8 hours on a train on a Saturday to come to a Sunday game and then making a round trip of 8 hours and having a kid say, I really enjoyed, you know, seeing you play. My dad brought me and it was one of the greatest things. A kid like that, you don't even charge him anything. You just wrote a, just sent him an autograph, no problem.
Sure.
No, it was truth out there.
Right.
When he mentions the territory, and that's what I call a kid really interested in baseball and reliving some nice memories.
Yeah,
and the ballpark for maybe one day of the year. It was a big time, big day in the year when he took the train
right.
to go to see the Kansas City.
Yeah, and those people you have to respond
sure.
to. Yes,
I was never unfair with anybody, but I think I was unfair to myself because I was being used many a times. Probably I used to sign. There's people would sign. They would have 3-4 sheets on me, ask me 30 questions. I mean, from university and everywhere. And I'll tell you, after a while, some of the things you begin to wonder if they're being written without my permission.
Yeah.
And it's not fair. It's not
You're
really
right.
Fair.
It's absolutely not.
You know, and there is no compensation or anything, but. I'm being fair to you like I am today, you know,
well,
doing
you,
my thing because a few other, yeah, see, my wife just mentioned you don't put something that gets me in problems. In other words, when I relate something to you, I have a nice, clean pass, and I'm not ever knocking baseball. I have some disappointments in life about salary and stuff, but I didn't want to pinpoint names, so I didn't have to get
no, well, this is not...
Hurts, though.
It's not an expose. It's just to get your opinions and let people know you're still around. You mentioned disappointments. What about regrets from your career?
Regrets from my career?
Yeah.
I have no regrets baseball-wise. The only thing I really regret, that one thing I think I shortchanged myself in life is that I wished I had, while I was playing ball, had taken up correspondence courses and picked up at least a certificate for teaching and gotten the educational feel. I thought that would have been changed my entire life around because I've had my struggles in life working and a result of not having at least a certificate, some education above high school where it would have helped my career, especially when you look at the fact that I had all this experience in the big leagues, which I probably never gave it a thought at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have helped me, put me in a direction where I probably, the rest of my life would have been in the school system. And then with the background I have, would have probably pursued another 2 years and probably been in the educational field with coaching or something, maybe even on a college level. I wouldn't doubt it, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to see that, though, when you're still playing.
Sure. Not only that, it's hard to see it back in those times when I had a big family. There was nobody in college in my family. My father worked on a railroad for 30 years, never owned a car, Coldwater Flat. I mean, he lost his home in Pennsylvania during the Depression.
Wow.
It was tough. So
yep,
you weren't here to think of college. But it hurts you later on in life because this past year, 14 months, I've been out of work.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we were working for a nice company. Matter of fact, Bobby Malkmus was working with Fisher Scientific.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in Springfield, New Jersey. We have like 23 branches, and there's been some change of management over the years. From the Fisher name is there, but we went on a strike over health care out-of-pocket contributions for benefits. It was increased like to the projected increase of about 450% over 3 years, so we'd be paying like $103 a pocket. But we could, you know, when you look at it now, we could imagine. We wanted to go back in after 4 months, and they locked us out. They put replacement workers security watch in a place, corporate security, like they hire camcorders and everything. So they just kept us out of work.
And it's still that way?
Pardon?
And it's still that way?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, matter of fact, I'm trying to go to retraining to stay alive with benefits. I've just been out of work 14 months.
Golly, that's tough. That is really tough.
And Bobby Mountains became a scout when I came in there. He got the Cleveland job as a scout. That was 12 years ago, 12, 13 years ago. Well, 12 years I have at Fisher, but it's unbelievable that in my day of my life, at this age, that they should do this to me.
Yeah. What are you, 50, 57, 58 now?
Well, I don't even want to get into it. I know I said
okay.
It hurts. You know,
yes, I bet it does.
It's the time of life to be put out of work.
All right. All right. It's a time you should...
77 people put out of work, and if you tell people you're on strike or there's a lockout, they don't realize we've had double security. Springfield cops have been out there for 6 months. We're paid round the clock, 24 hours a day, like $25 an hour.
Mm.
If you had two cops on the street, you'd get $25 an hour on the clock. But an 8-hour shift made $200. They could pay that, and then they could pay the security probably over $1 million this past year, where they have the corporate security with two cars out there with camcorders on, and they have sophisticated electronic equipment in the cars where they pick up what you're saying out in the street and all this. I mean,
okay.
That's a big time to do this. You have to have money, a corporation.
Oh, yes.
And Fisher is one of the biggest distributors in the healthcare industry.
Oh, yeah. Fisher's a huge operation.
They don't care about our own. The way the union and the international has been saying to all people concerned is they don't care about our own health, our own healthcare.
Oh,
and
man.
Yet they're providers of in the healthcare field, a major distributor.
Yeah, I'm a veterinarian. I get a lot of things through Fisher.
Yeah. If you, believe me, they just locked us out.
Wow. Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah, they just, there is, they don't even sit and negotiate. They have the meetings, but they don't negotiate.
Well,
I don't know what's behind it, really. You know, I don't know whether they want some people not in there forever. But why you burn nice people?
No, it's hard to understand.
They wrecked my life, really, just this past year and a half.
Well, golly, I hope it straightens out.
Well, you know they're going to discriminate. People will discriminate here and there. The economy's been bad in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
As far as employment. So there's maybe the 4 or 5 people got jobs since then.
Wow.
It's been tough.
I can imagine. The economy's so bad elsewhere, it's just really hard to go somewhere else and start over.
Yeah, and like I say, I you know, my head's been so much, I've been in such it's so depressed at times over the situation. I say, why, I don't deserve it. You know, I didn't deserve it because even Bobby Del Greco was out of work until Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
He was driving a newspaper truck and they were on strike. But it wasn't like ours, a lockout. Ours is a lockout. They took work out of our place and put it down in Delaware and hired people down in Delmar, Delaware, and added a shift down there and took our work out prior to the strike here. So they anticipated something.
Yeah, evidently.
They had a game plan. They had a game plan. We didn't, you know. But I was just a worker. So I wasn't involved with committees or anything like that. I was just a worker. But where I am now is really in terrible shape as far as being without a job.
Yeah, I can imagine. At least Del Greco's papers have started going again.
Well, I think new owners got in there, I think. But his son may never get a job back there because I was talking to his wife. And she said Bobby was out of work since April. And that was in January now. So April to January, and new owners took over the Pittsburgh paper, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think I read that.
And she said he had a chance of going back as a driver, but they were doubtful that the son would get a job. In fact, he was also a driver there. They were afraid that he wouldn't get. He had 3 kids.
Oh man!
So I said, "Oh my goodness!" I said, "You're not the only ball player really having his problems." But what happened to me is it should never have been a problem because these people make lots of money, and I worked much overtime in that place. I was a devoted worker through the years. I was thanked many times for the overtime work, weekends, and things there. And to be treated like this, be out of work at this time of my life, it really hurts. You become so disillusioned with big business.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder why. How can you? Don't you have any heart for people? Whatever the problem is, we wanted to go back in February. Why don't you resolve it? No problem can't be resolved if you sit down and talk it over. If you have doing it somewhere else. I think they're just hiding a lot of facts. I believe they're either trying to bust the union or certain people they don't want. But how could you do this to people, put them out? The good people that worked through the years, how could you do this to them?
It's not just the people. It's each person is responsible for three or four other people.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I certainly hope it's something that is eventually straightened out for you, George.
Well, I don't know. You just can't. You'd think some big people would come down to this plant, and you'd think the president would do something, because even though it's been on the books for years, we understand this this replacement workers. People try to say, well, when Reagan came in, this happened with the airline controllers. You know, we understand that. But then I hear that they had in their contract that they weren't supposed to strike, had a clause. But nobody has ever used it like they're starting to use now. More and more, they're bringing these replacements. And I think what they're going to do is they're going to devastate this country. They're going to make more people poverty-stricken.
Are they doing a good job of it so far?
You know what you're doing. When you lock people out, you're making like a circus of your employment. You are now putting people in that coming off the street could be unemployed for some reason. Keeping them in as fresh, maybe you're going cheaper wages. I don't know what it is. But you see, by worrying about your finances, your secondary issue is the people. And when you're like in the healthcare business like Fisher has been, and they say it's our people make the company.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can you say that?
That's right.
They're not doing their job back.
Oh, man.
So that's untrue. But you see, I've always been fair in my life, and I've been what I call a good worker, a dedicated worker. I haven't been a problem person. Why am I being treated like this? I have to talk about myself because there's other people. It is my life affected.
Of course it is.
And there's along with others. But it really hurts, and it's one of the biggest setbacks I've ever had in my life.
Yes, I can certainly see that.
Because I've gone trying to get scouting jobs. I wrote to Whitey Herzog, and I wrote to Hayward Sullivan, John McHale, got people that I'm familiar with, you know, and Jimmy Campbell. He's retired. John's probably retired now, from what I hear.
Yes, I believe he is.
You try, but it's tough, you know. But I was trying to straighten out my life again, and I'm still... may go retraining to stay alive here. I don't know what's going to happen down the road, but I've been looking for some kind of direction. Somebody employ me and get on with my life, but I'll tell you, it hurts. It hurts.
Well, you'll make it. You'll make it. You've got two positive.
I hope so.
I know you're down right now, but you still sound upbeat, and that's what it takes.
Yeah, well, you're upbeat until I haven't had a scratch to... that bad where you have no income at all, you know.
Right.
To this point, it's been that way where we had something coming in and you're still managing, but when it becomes a situation where you have no income at all, which is could be soon, then you got the problem.
That's scary. That's
right. Do I lose my home over or what happens, I don't know.
Oh, you boy.
Know, that is the problem, because at my time of life, I don't know. It's just, I've gone to politicians, everything, trying to get work, but you know, they all tell me it's hard out there right now, so they are trying to help me, but Jersey's unemployment is finally going down, so I may go to retraining, and I hope that can give me something with someone, you know, instead of just being in a warehouse. I worked in a warehouse, and that's a nice experience, and there's truckers and receiving, but that's a common thing today. There's many people looking for warehouse work.
There's a lot of folks out there looking for it right now for anything they can find. Well, George, let me ask you one more question, and we'll wrap this up. Would you go back and be a ball player again?
Would I go back?
Would you be a ball player again if you were 18?
Yes, I just changed other aspects of my life.
Yeah.
As I was playing ball. No, and no regrets that way.
Great.
And I have one way of looking at life, and I've talked to people, and they kind of... make me remember that even though they never played ball, they would love to have had an opportunity.
Oh, goodness, yes.
So I had that opportunity. I was successful at it out of maybe 600 ball players, like people that would mention to me, people, lawyers, and I had lawyer friends. George, I'll never forget, out of 600, I wish I could be one of the best 600 in this country. Now, you were one of the best, one of the 600 in this United States and outside the United States, where ball players came from. Cuba and other places, you know, so 600 people. You were one of those 600. You really accomplished something in your life, but it's this part of my life that's it's a downer, you know.
Yeah.
I've lived through it and worked, but this is the downer I'm going through right now, a real hurter. And I just came, I'm getting close to where, you know, I never figured this would happen to me, and it really hurts now. It really hurts because I thought I'd never see the day this would happen to me because of the company I was in.
It's hard to foresee, especially when you've got a company with a reputation as Fisher.
Well, they always had a nice reputation, but they've changed people's. The Fisher brothers aren't controlling people anymore. They have 49%, like they sold controlling stock to outsiders. Signal had it for a while, and then...
Isn't American Auto